WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. Today we have a real treat. Our friend Len Harris stops by to talk about his new book and join us here. He was here a year ago. And Len, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Phil.
A year ago, I was encouraging. I said, hey, man, come back when you get that book done. And I guess it's the time now, huh?
It most definitely is.
Yeah. So is it a good fishing day today out there, is it?
Actually, when it's raining or overcast, it's the best time to chase trout because the rain knocks food into the water, and trout don't have eyelids, so they shun bright sunlight. So today would be the day. I went yesterday already, and I did pretty well.
Good.
I caught 20 in about an hour and a half, won 17, 18 inches.
Yeah, when I read the forecast just a moment ago, I thought, you know, I bet Len's saying this is a good day because you mentioned that in your book about you've been soaked a lot of times out there, but you're having fun doing it, right?
I always have fun fishing and talking about fishing and reading about fishing.
And you've written the book. This is your third. You said it was your final book?
I had this book sitting on the shelf for about 3 years, and I would say to my wife, is it time? She says, no, I don't think it's time. So I asked her enough times, she finally gave in and said, yep, it's time.
So it was sitting on the shelf for a little bit. When was your last book released?
My last book was released in 2015.
Okay. So you added a few stories. You know, these are all full of your stories, your fishing stories. How did you decide which ones would make it and which ones didn't?
Well, I had at least 40 to choose from. And the ones that tugged at my heart were the ones I decided to put in the book.
Okay. Yeah, several of them do. Now, let's go back a little bit and how it all started. You lost your dad at a young age, didn't you?
I was 10, and he was deer hunting and overexerted dragging a deer out of the woods and died of a heart attack at age 40.
Wow. His impact on you, though, because he took you fishing, so you obviously, you took that the rest of your life, didn't you?
He would always have a lesson also when we'd go out. This time of the year is when all the wildflowers are coming out, and he would point them out. He would have oddball names for them that when I was older, I looked up because I thought a flower called a wart, that can't be correct. Well, it was all sorts of different kinds of warts, and they're coming out right now. When I went fishing yesterday, I was admiring them in between catching fish.
Yeah. Some of them, it's a little early, isn't it, for some of this stuff?
It's a little early. They're just barely poking their heads out of the brown grass. But the liverworts are out. The bloodroot are out. And that typically means, from a tale Dad told long ago, is the water is warm enough because the ground is warm enough. If the ground is frozen, the water is still really cold and the fish won't bite. But now the ground is thawed. Wildflowers are coming up. It's time to catch big trout.
One of my favorite chapters in your new book, Yesterday and Tomorrow, talks about your youth and your roots. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about collecting some pop bottles and how that had an impact on your future.
I had five sisters, and I was the only son, and I was right in the middle. And after my father passed, we were pretty poor. And my mom used to always tell me, you're lucky you have food and pants and shoes. And I was kind of a beggar. I'd say the neighbor kids got a brand new bicycle or mini bike or some fancy this or that. And she'd say, he won't appreciate it as much as you do if you earn it. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, there's all sorts of things you could do. My mom had a lot of friends from church, and she said, this young lady here, her husband died, and she's not that young anymore, and you can go get her groceries at the grocery store, and I guarantee you she'll tip you. And I did that quite often. I babysitted as a young kid. And my mom says, you know, there's pop bottles in the ditch in between the store and the high school. That's 3 cents a piece for redeeming the pop bottles. So every Saturday, I would go with a gunny sack and I'd fill it full. And like today, when it's raining, that evening I would go out with a flashlight and I'd usually hold the flashlight in my mouth, crawl around on the football field in Gaze Mills and pick up night crawlers. And again, that was 3 cents a piece. And the local sporting goods store, it was Pettit's Tackle, would pay me for the night crawlers. And on a good night, I could get 1,000 easily. So near the end of the summer, I had enough money saved. My mom went to Boscobel and picked up the bike I wanted, and she had them put it together. And I took it and showed it to every single one of my friends on the block. And all of them were just blown away that I bought it with my own money, that my dad or mom didn't supply it to me. And there's a life lesson there. If you want something bad enough, you can figure out how to get it.
Do you remember how much the bike was?
Oh, my. I think, if I remember right, it was like $23. Well, that was in 1969, I believe, that I got the bicycle.
But still, at 3 cents a night crawler or 3 cents a pop bottle, you had to work to get that much, didn't you?
Well, the money was saved, but every once in a while, I'd have to go to the store to buy a fishing lure or a candy bar. So it took me a little longer than I wanted. It was a huffy, yellow, butterfly handlebarred banana seat. I don't know if it had a specific name, but it seemed perfect for me. And it took me to all my streams. My mom was busy, so she would say, be home by dark. I don't want you riding your bike in the dark. And it was my vehicle to get out to the streams.
So that bike meant everything to you as far as getting out there and watching, you know, where you were going to go fishing and everything.
Exactly. It was part of my fishing gear.
How many times did you come home with fish on the handlebars there from your stringer?
I lost track of how many times. I recall one time that I caught a gigantic pike when I was trout fishing. And with my hand on the handlebars hanging on to the pike on the stringer, its tail drug on the ground. It was that big.
My goodness. Hard balancing your bike and hauling the fish home, I'm sure.
Well, then with the fishing pole over your shoulder also. I was so full of adrenaline then that it really was a quick trip back home. But I usually drove up and down Main Street a few times to show my people my catch.
Yeah.
And there, I didn't just eat them myself. My father had a list at the grocery store and the gas station of people that wanted fish, and I kept it going after he passed. I supplied pike and trout and walleye to probably 3/4 of Gaze Mills.
Yeah, and that's where you grew up.
That was my hometown, correct, mm-hmm. Gaze Mills.
And you fished pretty much your whole life. Where did you go then after high school?
I went to Tech College in La Crosse for a year. And then for 7 years, 1 month, and 11 days, I was in the active army. And 6 of those years, I was in Germany.
And did you fish there?
I only fished there one time, but it was after I got out of the service. It's quite a hard process to be able to fish in Germany. You have to go to a school, and it's not cheap. You have to pass a test. And most streams over there are owned by fishing clubs, and you have to have permission to get on there. And if the landowners want the fish that you caught, you are, by law, have to give them the fish. So the one time I went there was probably, it was 2015, and I went to southern Germany to a alpine stream, and one of my friends that still lives over there, he took me there, and he was a member of the Munich Fishing Club. And he said, you probably aren't going to catch anything. So I planned this trip for 6 months. I sent extra gear over. I sent extra waiters over. He showed up at my hotel room knocking on the door. He says, I want to go scouting. Well, scouting meant fishing, but I hadn't picked up any of my gear. So we went out to this small stream, and I wanted to catch a grayling because I'd never caught one of those before. It's an oddball-looking thing with a real big dorsal fin. The limit there was between the two of us, we could catch no more than a meter of trout. And there was no catch and release there. If you caught a 2-inch one and then you caught a 20 and a 20, you were done. So it took me 15 minutes to catch 3 15-inchers, and I was done. With all that planning, I was done.
You never get to use your gear then.
I literally had to go into an alpine stream fed by glaciers in my blue jean up to my belly button to land one because I didn't have my net. My wife was there and my friend Jan were there, and they were laughing so hard at me, both of them almost fell on the ground.
So are those fish, are they good eating?
Oh, such cold water. Uh-huh. They were pristine. We went to his house, and I cleaned them, and none of them had ever seen a trout be cleaned before. And I did it so quickly, I said, wow, didn't know it was so simple. And then we had it on the grill, and there were 5 or 6 people there. So we each got about a mouthful, but I'm pretty good at cooking. I learned how to cook while I was in the service.
I was wondering, you didn't put any recipes in your books, though, did you, Lynn?
Well, recipes... There's not enough room for all the fishing stories. I can't take up space with recipes.
Lots of good stories. And in your new book, you have pictures of some of the people that you've guided before and some famous people as well, right?
Well, I quit guiding in 2009. It was just so hard on me watching people fish. When you guide, you cannot fish. If you carry a rod and reel, it's a backup. I quit in 09 because fishing without a fishing pole was like going to a gold mine without a shovel. My most famous client was Coach Bobby Knight. And my second most famous client was Bob Skowronski, Green Bay Packer, retired Ice Bowl era, 2 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah. So... I'm sure people probably commonly ask you what were they like or what was it like. Coach Knight, I think, was probably a different guy fishing than he was when he was on the basketball court, wasn't he?
He was still quite focused, and if I told him that I thought there was going to be a fish in a run and there wasn't, I would get a dirty look. I would tell him it wasn't because there wasn't one in there, it's because you didn't hit it quite right. That didn't go over well.
He didn't throw his fishing chair or anything, did he?
No. In fact, I took him trout fishing, and then later in the afternoon, I took him turkey hunting over by Gase Mills. One of my friends called for him, and he got impatient. He didn't want to sit in the blind that we had set up. He wanted to stalk them, which is kind of hard. A lot of people do, but it was about this time of year, maybe a little later, but he had a stool that I drug along with. I carried the chair, not him.
Okay. Well, there's a great picture of him in your book, Yesterday and Tomorrow. It looks like he caught one.
He caught a really nice rainbow, and if you see it's a rainbow, you know it's either from Richland County or southward, because most of the counties around here do not have rainbows in them. And I'd say 99% of the rainbows that you'll catch around here are from the hatchery. They're brood stock that have gotten so old that they released into catch and release only water.
Do you have any stories about Bob Skowronski?
Bob Skowronski learned how to trout fish when he was a Packer. He didn't know how to do it prior. And he was an honorary member of, I'm not sure which nation, but north of Green Bay, he was made an honorary tribe member, and they taught him how to fish for brook trout with a half of worm on a small wire hook, and he liked catching, but he did not keep any ever in the whole time I went out with him. I probably went out with him over 100 times. When I first started taking him out, I took him out just because I liked listening to his stories. And partway, I guided for 5 years, and partway through the guiding, he started giving me Packer tickets just out of the blue. He'd say, "I've got 5 for this Viking game coming up. Do you want them?" I said, "Sure." So 5 rows up behind the bench, I could even see Brett Favre scratching his ear. I was so close. Bob would tell stories about back in the day when he first started playing football. He wore leather helmets with no face guard. And if someone would do you wrong, like they would try to cut block you, or they would stick their fingers in your eyes, you did it right back. Because if you didn't do it, they would think you were not manly enough, and they would do it worse. He was quite a character.
How is he as a fisherman, though?
Brook trout are the easiest trout to catch. You could nearly catch a brook trout with a bare hook. I counted one morning. We were fishing over by Towerville, and he caught 183 brook trout in 2 hours.
Wow.
So he's obviously pretty good at it.
That, I mean, you think about that, that's almost, you don't even hardly have time to take it off the hook and keep going if you're going to catch that many in that short amount of time.
He would always make his hook barbless, so it'd be so much easier to get them unhooked. Uh-huh. And usually when you find one brook trout, you found 100. They school up, and over there we were fishing on a big beaver dam. And it was just fish after fish after fish. Most of them were fairly little. Brook trout are not very smart. You can drag a fish right through the middle of them, and they'll bite on the next cast. They won't run away.
They don't remember then.
No, they're instinctual feeders.
Mm-hmm. So you have some stories in there about trout that are pretty smart, though, as well. There's one about the big trout that was kind of hiding under the underbrush.
Well, I don't know about smart, instinctual. So I remember the story well. It's my biggest male small stream brown trout. I like to kid that I'm put together with rubber bands and shoestrings. I have a artificial left knee. I've had my right knee scoped twice. I had a back fusion. I had a compression fracture in my neck. Lots of times when I'm fishing, I have to sit down and rest. I was near the end of my fishing outing this day, and sitting down near the stream gave me a different view of the hole that I'd fished 100 times. And I thought, I've never casted underneath that branch before. It was down low enough. I casted from the seated position and actually skipped it across under it. And before it could get down even 6 inches in the water, it got hammered by the biggest small stream male brown I've ever caught in my life. And again, that day I was fishing without waders, and it required a walk-in up to my belly button. And it fought, and it ran, and it fought. It was very memorable.
And you landed it, though.
Most definitely. Yeah. I got my giant net off my back, and I went out and netted it after quite a while. On two of the covers of my books, I have me with my giant net.
Mm-hmm.
I actually get ribbed a little bit about my net, telling me that I have delusions of grandeur. But you will never hear a trout hunter say, "I wish I had a smaller net."
Yeah, it's huge. It looks like a big snowshoe or something.
Well, it's actually a steelhead net that I got from a guy that makes them for a living up in Superior. It's a LDH net, and it's a walnut with a maple inlay. It's quite a beautiful net.
So tell us about the picture on the cover of your book. Who took that?
Well, about 3 years ago, I ran into an ex-state senator from Richland Center, Dale Schultz. And we hit it off right away. And he talked me into taking him fishing. And he's hooked now. He prefers hunting with dogs more than fishing, but he finds time to fish. So we were fishing on a Richland County stream here, and I did not know he was taking the picture. And he showed it to me, and it was just jaw-dropping. It was the essence of trout fishing for me.
It's a beautiful one. And the back cover as well is another photo. Another of your friends took that one too, didn't they?
My friend Jim Furley, he's got a kind of a vacation retreat around here. He was always talking to me about wanting to go fishing. He's a walleye and pike and ice fisherman. And I finally talked him into going too. And these days, he's just as good or better than I am. He really is good at casting and casting into very pinpoint locations.
I love the pictures, though. They're almost 3D. It almost looks like you could walk right into them.
Well, my stories, I try to make 3D. When I write, it's like I'm trying to place you right there with me on the stream. All of my fishing stories have life lessons and fishing tips interwoven throughout the stories.
Yeah, that's what makes them special, that's for sure. So as you were talking to me before we went on the air about your blog, you used to publish a lot of pictures like this. I never even thought about this. People were trying to figure out where you were fishing then as a result, weren't they?
Well, I would go to my blog and there would be statistics and what picture was clicked on and how many times. And through my statistics on my blog, the folks weren't looking at my big fish. They were looking at my stream pictures, trying to figure out where I was fishing.
You couldn't keep it a secret then. I would imagine they figured it out in some cases, didn't they?
Well, they figured it out. And then I was kind of vain for a while there. I had a license plate on my vehicle that said fishing on it. And I would find people parked in my tracks the next day. So I switched that out.
That's like when somebody's fishing and catching, and then they move, and then somebody moves right in that spot to try their hand there, isn't it?
I had that happen to me once when I was fishing the Milwaukee River, and they couldn't catch anything. They moved on. I went right back in there and caught some right behind them before they could even leave.
So you probably get asked all the time, Len, but what's the secret? Because I could probably fish the same water and sit there all day with the same worm or lure.
The key is big trout, which I try to think I specialize in. They did not get big because they were super smart. It's because of their environment, that the tree trunks, the tree roots, the down tree, they're in the biggest, tightest mess there is. If you want to catch a big trout, you don't need to cast 300 yards. You need to be able to flip a little short cast with a worm or a spinner right into the snaggiest mess. And also, you don't want a flimsy rod. You don't want a 0 or a 2.8 fly rod or an ultralight spinning rod. You want to be able to get their heads up immediately and get them out of that mess, or you're just going to be hooking them and then they're going to roll around in there and you're going to lose the lure and the fish is probably going to die because it's going to be entangled.
How often do you lose your lure, though?
If you don't lose lures, you aren't fishing right. Lots of people use too light of line. They have read all of the things in the magazine, think they have to use 1, 2, 3, 4 pound test. I have 10 pound test on my spinning rod. And I also use a medium heavy spinning rod. It helps with distance and it definitely helps with precision of my casts. And if I get something on, I can get that fish's head up. I keep talking about head up. When you get their head up, that usually means they get kind of put on their side. And when they're on their side, their tail, which is what motates them here and there, is nullified because it's not able to work the usual way it does. So you get them on the top, don't let them get back down in the water. Or I this is one of my dad's sayings, or you'll be left singing in the pig pen.
I love it. So you hear the flapping of the tail of the trout when you're trying to land them, then, right?
Well, usually when you're trying to land a big trout, you have such tunnel vision, you don't hear anything. A lot of people make a mistake when they cast. They don't try to pre-plan where they're going to land it at. If you're in a snaggy mess and you haven't figured out where to land that fish, you are going to lose it. Pre-planning. I watched a guy have on one of the biggest trout I've ever seen. He had it to shore, and then it made another run. Then he got it up on its surface. He turned to me and said, "Get down there with my net, with your net." And I said, "I'm already there." So while he was distracted, talking to me and not seeing me get down there in the water, he let the trout back in down into the water. The tail got in its power position. Snap. It was gone.
Took it right then. Wow.
It was done.
Ah, interesting. So that was, again, where you didn't get to use your big net that day then.
A lot of people don't know how to use a net. They try to go tail first when they net it. Fish cannot go in reverse. If you're going to net a fish, you should always net it head first. Usually when it sees the net, it makes one last wild tail on fire. I'm trying to get away. So you put the net going head first and you tilt the net slightly up. So if it makes that run, it runs right into the side of your net and it's done. So my net serves more than just netting. When I'm by myself, it has a nice long handle. I keep the trout in the water after I've unhooked it. I stick the handle of the net into the mud bank. The fish is reviving itself while it's in the nice deep net. I get my camera out. I take a focus pre-picture to make sure I've got it. I lift it with my left hand out of the water. I snap a picture, and it's gone within 3 seconds. So I'm not stressing the fish by doing all these glory shots or laying them on the ground.
How often do you keep a fish, or how do you determine if you're going to keep it?
Well, currently in April, you cannot keep them. It's mandatory catch and release here. Lots of times when I go fishing, I stop at the landowners at the beginning of the year and make sure it hasn't changed hands, and I ask the landowners, "Do you want a fish or two?" And I used to have a friend that I would always stop at her house just to talk to her. Her name was Sue Taylor. She loved fish, but she didn't know how to clean them. And she'd say, "I want two, and you know what size." So I would get two, and I'd go to her house right away. She used to run a beauty shop here and out in the boonies. Mm-hmm. And I'd clean them in her spigot, and she'd have them for supper. And she'd always share them with her son, Tim.
Yeah, that's awesome that you did that. We had some fellows in last week talking about hunting and how it's getting harder and harder to find places to hunt. Is it kind of like that with fishing, you know, with landowners that you're not familiar with and things like that?
Always in the beginning of the year, I don't assume that I have permission from the year prior. I drive by where I plan on fishing, and if there's different cars, or if I saw a for sale sign during the off season, or I see tractors where there weren't tractors, I knock on doors. And the best way to lose a fishing permission is to assume you have permission from year to next. A fish or two to these landowners goes a long way to get permission on there forever.
Yeah, awesome. Len Harris, our guest on the morning show. We've got some more fish stories coming up here when we return with more.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
There's always a fresh surprise in store at the Avoca Mercantile. Support local artisans and treat yourself to a delightful shopping experience. They can't wait to welcome you.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Computer Connections Y Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, or full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you. And by BL Signs for your full-service sign company. Coming up, notes on today in news and weather and sports. Yesterday, it was a rainy day. We received 54 one-hundredths here at the studios. This morning, 2 one-hundredths of an inch of rain, a little light rain at times early, and it's 47 degrees.
BL Signs is a full-service sign design company in Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications to meet the client's needs. They offer internally lighted extruded aluminum sign cabinets, post and panel signs, non-lighted acrylic letters, LED lighted channel letters of all types and sizes, printed in solid color vinyl lettering, and graphics. Call BL Signs at 647-0149 and see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. A man and a young teenage girl died following a chase and overnight standoff south of Madison Wednesday night. Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett said 37-year-old Alexander C. Grunke of Middleton died from an apparent suicide. A 13-year-old girl accompanying Grunke is also dead. Grunke is identified by the Dubuque County Sheriff's Office as a person of interest in the death of 32-year-old Tanya Poppy at a home in Iowa. The 13-year-old and a 5-month-old baby who had been staying with her were gone. Barrett said Grunke and the girl dropped that baby off at a home in Dane County. Deputies responding to that residence spotted the vehicle, which led to the pursuit. A tire deflation device ended the chase. The girl was found unresponsive after running into a wooded area and later died despite life-saving efforts. Grunke fired several shots into a town of Albion home and barricaded himself inside. Deputies were able to get the family out safely before eventually finding Grunke dead in the basement. Barrett said his office is still processing multiple scenes in the investigation. There will be an open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court next year. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announced she'll step down at the end of her term. That means the seat held by the liberal justice will be up for grabs next April after liberals won by a 4-3 majority on the court 1 year ago. The 73-year-old Bradley, a Richland Center native, is the court's longest-serving justice, elected to her first 10-year term in 1995 after 10 years as a Marathon County Court Judge. In her statement, she said, "It's time to bring fresh perspectives to the court." More on the Elijah Vu search from Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert. Meinert said the focus remains on Two Rivers and Manitowoc County. Meinert said that while he continues to hope that Elijah will be brought home safe, this is a 3-year-old missing for 50 days in inclement weather. Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, who reported him missing February 20th, are both charged with child neglect. The total reward for information regarding the recovery of Elijah is now at $40,000. The next coordinated search is scheduled for Saturday morning. Wisconsin's Bipartisan Elections Commission has rejected a petition seeking to force a recall election of the state's top elected Republican, who has drawn the ire of former President Donald Trump. Trump backers, angry with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, launched the recall effort. They cited his refusal to decertify President Joe Biden's narrow win in the state in 2020. The Elections Commission voted 5-0 to reject the recall effort Thursday. Commissioners said it was clear that not enough signatures required under state law to trigger a recall election had been collected. Recall organizers have launched a second petition drive seeking a recall. The most recent drought monitor shows slight improvements overall in the state, particularly in northwestern and east central Wisconsin. Southern La Crosse County and areas generally south of I-90 are still in a moderate drought, with severe drought centered around the lower Driftless area. North of I-90 is still considered abnormally dry. Richland County is still in the moderate to drought condition. Overall, only a quarter of the state is considered in drought, down from about 80% 6 months ago. A building that is over 100 years old is in the process of being demolished. Viroqua's former city hall is being taken down to provide better sight lines for drivers at the intersection where every major highway that comes through Viroqua meets U.S. Highways 14 and 61 and State Highways 27, 82, and 56. The 107-year-old building was originally a bank before becoming city hall. Viroqua built a new city hall a couple of years ago next door. There are no current plans to develop the space where the building is being removed. There will be a recount for the Richland County Board Supervisor seat in District 8. The Richland County Board of Canvassers met this week at the Richland County Courthouse for the purpose of canvassing the April 2nd spring election results. In the contested race for District 8 between incumbent Gary Manning and challenger Cheryl Dahl, it was confirmed that Manning received 90 votes while Dahl received 89. Richland County Clerk Derek Kalish announced that Cheryl Dahl has submitted the proper paperwork for a recount. The recount will be held this morning at 9 in the county boardroom located on the third floor of the Richland County Courthouse. And the Black Hawk chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution hosted 8 area schools' senior good citizens at a tea on Wednesday. This year's good citizens were Bronwyn Halverson from Highland High School, Kaylee Peterson from Ithaca High School, Gracie Nemec from Lafarge, Jaden Ballard from Iowa Grand High School, Haley Gander from Kickapoo High School, Olivia Sturdivant from Riverdale, and Gracie Syme of Seneca, Cohen Redman from Wazika Steuben High School. Each received a DAR Good Citizen pin, wallet card, and scholarship award. The essay winner for this year was also announced. Olivia Sturdivant of Riverdale was the winner. Her winning essay has been forwarded to the State Good Citizen Award Contest.
It's internet for everyone from Why Connect Wireless. Why Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Why Connect Wireless.
Partly cloudy and breezy today, a high of 58. Northwest winds could be between 12 and 24. Clear and chilly with a bit of frost possible tonight, a low of 34. Mostly sunny and warmer Saturday and a high of 70. And Sunday, 73 with sunshine at times. Southwest winds right now around 3 miles per hour. We have received 2/100ths of an inch of rain. A lot more rain reported in some areas of our listening area yesterday, but we picked up 54/100ths here at the studios, and on Thursday we had a high temperature of 64 degrees. This morning we've been as warm as 49 and as low as the current reading. Right now it is 47 degrees.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Here at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, we want to make the transition as easy as possible. Whether you are moving into assisted living, downsizing, or looking for a change, we got it. We are willing to work around your schedule. We offer delivery, setup, and disposal. We carry a variety of comfortable and functional pieces to fit everyone's needs, such as lift chairs, adjustable beds, and more. Stop into A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet to make your transition easier. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays, 9 to noon.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A few games were played yesterday. The Brewers did not play. They'll open the weekend series against Baltimore, and we'll have more details coming up. When the look is casual, the name is Mr. G's. When the emphasis is on active wear, the name is Mr. G's. Because Mr. G's Clothing truly is a special clothing store. Now is the best time to update your casual wear for spring and summer with a selection you'll find at Mr. G's. Choose from all the top names, from casual to active wear, and from dress shoes to work boots. The name is Mr. G's. Mr. G's in the Richland Square, in Richland Center, and Viroqua.
Choose Mr. G's.
Several games were rained out on Thursday here in the area. The high school baseball game that we were intending to broadcast, River Valley and Dodgeville, nearly got started. Both teams warmed up and had their infield sessions in a steady light rain last night in Dodgeville. By 5 o'clock, umpires and coaches both agreed the field was past safe playing conditions and the game was postponed. River Valley, now 2-2, will play at Columbus for a non-conference game today. Dodgeville has a game at Evansville. Richland Center also had a similar experience. So they were at Lancaster before a heavy rain there forced cancellation. The Hornets will host River Valley on Tuesday of next week. A few games in pockets were able to be played. The Ridge and Valley had pretty good success yesterday at getting games in. Ithaca was a winner against Wazika Steuben, 14-2 in Wazika yesterday. It was Matt Kepler with a couple of hits and Mac Neef with a couple of hits. Three RBIs for Kepler, two for Neef, three RBIs for Sammy Clary, backing up the pitching of Micah Salisbury and Wes Nelson, and the Bulldogs logged victory. Garrett Jennings got the win for Weston yesterday, allowing no runs on four hits, two walks, and three strikeouts, and Isaac Jennings came on in relief as Weston defeated North Crawford. Final score was 8-0. Colton Newman was 3-for-4 with a couple of singles and a double and three RBIs as well. Garrett Jennings 3-for-5 with two singles and a couple of RBIs. Trevor Westfall 2-for-4 with two singles and an RBI as well. Yesterday, Seneca was winner over DeSoto. That final score was 7-0. Bangor edged Royal 4-3. Softball action was Zika Steuben 11-1 over Ithaca. Bangor 11, Royal 8, Prairie du Chien 10-8 over Lancaster, and Baraboo a 9-8 winner over Portage. The Richland Center girls soccer team lost to River Valley yesterday. An aggressive Blackhawks team picked up an 8-0 victory in the rain yesterday in Spring Green. Games going on today. Riverdale will be taking on Fenimore in varsity baseball action. Getting underway at 4:30. We'll be at Ithaca. The Bulldogs will host Riverdale in area non-conference softball today. That pregame time around 4:50 on the radio. Weston is back into action in baseball today, hosting New Lisbon. And Kickapoo will be taking on Seneca as well in area action. The Richland Center and River Valley softball teams will be in action today. Hornets varsity taking on River Valley. That's going on today at Richland Center High School among the notable area matchups. The Brewers rained out for the second time in this early season when Thursday's contest at Cincinnati was postponed. It will be made up April 30th as a split doubleheader. Milwaukee had a game against the Mets postponed in what was supposed to be the 2024 season opener for both teams. Also in baseball yesterday, it was the Mets 16-4 over Atlanta, Philadelphia 5-1 over Pittsburgh. Kansas City beat Houston 13-3, Oakland 1-0 over Texas, Baltimore 9, Boston 4, Minnesota at Detroit, that one was rained out as well. Defensive end Montez Sweat is putting Packer Nation on notice. He says he and his Bears won't be losing to Green Bay anymore. Sweat made the comment during an interview on the Green Light podcast. He acknowledges the rivalry between the teams and told host Chris Long, "I'm not losing to Green Bay this year. That would be a big change. The Packers have won 10 straight, 17 of the last 20, and 22 of 26. Chicago needs a quarterback before kicking this off. Most experts expect that will be rookie Caleb Williams." I'm Phil Nee. That's an update on Friday Morning Sports.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from Better Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 21 to 101.
We are talking fishing today. Len Harris is in the studio with us talking about his new book, Yesterday and Tomorrow, and with some fishing stories, beautiful pictures in there as well, some people that you might even recognize in there, maybe some fish you recognize. One that I don't, Len, is the tiger trout that's pictured there. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the picture is of Gary Peters from rural Richland Center. And if that would have been caught during regular season, that was catch and release season, that tiger trout would have been pushing state record size. Most times, tiger trout are really colorful. They almost look like tropical fish. Most colorful trout are males, and usually the more subdued ones are the females. They need to be able to blend in more to stay away from predators. So Gary and I went out, and it was late March, about 3 years ago. And within the first 30 yards, Gary had on a real oddball-colored fish. And it was pretty big, so I had nothing in my imagination. It was a tiger trout, but it was. And we looked at it, and he popped a picture. Gary is like me. He fishes for anything that has a tail and gills. And we didn't really realize it was so big, but it would have been a state record, I believe. It's a cross between a male brook trout and a female brown. It's when a male brook trout can't find female brook trout eggs and just does his business wherever. They're a sterile hybrid. They do not reproduce. They're about as unusual as finding a 5-pound gold nugget in a stream. That's how rare they are.
I was going to say, that has to be rare. I've not heard of that before. So, interesting. And that was right around here then.
Correct. This one in particular is stream-born. A lot of out west, they stock them. They create them in the hatchery. But these are stream-born, and now that our brook trout population is way down, if you catch a brook trout in this stream, you should continue to try, because there's a good possibility that you might find a tiger in there. And they're very rare.
Some other good stories that I really appreciate in your book, Yesterday and Tomorrow. Maybe you could kind of relay the one about the man that you took out fishing that left his heart apparatus back in the car.
So my friend Roger Abram, he's from Madison. I took him about 10 years ago, and I took him because he was 76 back then, and that was when I was having knee and back problem. And I took him just to see someone who I thought was older and less spry than me to kind of give me a motivation to go out. So we're fishing, and we're really fishing hard. And the weeds were fairly tall, and his nickname is Abe. Abe fell in the water a couple times and just kept on going. So we walked back to the car, and I said, "Are you up for another stretch?" He said, "Sure." He said, let me change my shirt. So we went to his vehicle, and he took his shirt off. And I was just flabbergasted. He had things stuck to his chest in three or four places. And I've had tests done at the doctors before, so I knew what they were. I said, what in the heck? He says, oh, they're for my heart monitor. Doctors got me doing a test to see how my heart's doing. I said, where is it? So I didn't want to get it wet. I left it in the car. So the story's called One More Cast. So if a 76-year-old who's supposed to be wearing a heart monitor fishing can go and not act like he's lesser of an angler for it, then I should be quiet about my knees and my back, I thought. So we went to an easy spot. I thought to myself, I wouldn't be able to live with myself if he had a heart attack. So I took him to a real easy spot that had some goats on it that had it manicured. So I left him on a hole to cast, and I turned around, and there he is laying flat on the ground. And I thought the worst, and he could see it in my eyes. He says, calm down, Len. My back is hurting. I just lay on the ground like this to put it back in alignment. So that was 10 years ago. He's still around. He had never taken a picture with a digital camera before. And his picture of me fishing, he saw the picture before he took it. He says, show me how to use that dang digital thing. So I showed him, and I got down in there, and I promptly had a fish on, and he took the picture, and I showed it to him, and he says, that picture is what epitomizes trout fishing in Wisconsin Driftless area.
Awesome.
Abe, if you're listening, thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. I like the story, too, about your big fight with a fish, thinking it was a trout the whole time and wound up to not be.
Well, I was fishing. I like chasing pike also. And I was at my second favorite perch over in Gaze Mills. And I hooked into something that was just gigantic. And it was doing head shakes. And usually head shakes mean either a trout or a pike. And I really had to battle this fish for a long time. It ran downstream two or three different times. And I finally got it under control. And it was still shaking its head like crazy. As I got it to shore, I saw it. It was a carp. I had snagged it by its tail. It was about a 20-pound carp. I had already thought to myself, am I letting this fish go? Where's the mount going to go on the wall? When will my wife, Barb, say that's okay? Barb, if you're listening, thank you also.
It's funny that you say that because I have limited fishing history, but I do remember fishing the Willow Creek many times and thinking that, oh, this is a trout is putting up such a fight, and then only to find out it's a lowly carp.
Oh, carp fight so hard. Recently, seeing I said my wife's name, and she's listening right now, we've taken up a new hobby, the wife and I. My wife's an RN, and she takes really good care of me. And I'm quite stubborn. And we started chasing waterfalls. We've been driving all over the place looking for waterfalls in Wisconsin, Minnesota, the UP, all the way down to Arkansas. That's my newest hobby that I've added. And it is just so invigorating. It's almost, Barb, almost as good as trout fishing.
That's awesome. And you have some waterfall pictures in the new book, too, don't you?
I have one waterfall picture in the new book, and it was the very first one I ever saw in my entire life. I was on vacation, and there was this tiny little sign on the side of the road that said waterfall, and Barb insisted we stop, and we walked, and we walked, and it was right after I had my left knee replacement. And I was getting kind of wimpy and whiny, just only a little bit further, only a little bit further. So we heard it long before we saw it. And it was just a gigantic 220-foot waterfall. And it was on when we went on vacation, when I went trout fishing in Germany. And after we were done, we went down towards Austria. And that's where we saw the sign in Göhling, Austria. It lit my waterfall love, and we've been to at least 100 since then. And we've already got a next one planned in Owatonna. And then we're going to go up to the UP. We have a couple up there we want to see in the near future.
Are there some in the state of Wisconsin, state parks that you've seen?
Oh, my goodness. There are scads of them in Marinette County. There's one close down by Dodgeville. It's called Stephan Falls. That's a state park there. Patterson State Park. That's, and then Copper Falls State Park.
Yeah, I was just there last summer and saw those. Pretty spectacular.
My most favorite one, it's kind of small. It's not a big one. It's called Devil River Falls. It's near Mirabel, Wisconsin.
Len Harris, always a pleasure. Come back and see us again.
Thank you. I will.
It's a lot of fun to talk fishing. That's Len Harris on our morning show today from WRCO.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement is our guest at WRCO. Tom, I was outside covering some baseball this week, and I've seen a few lawnmowers emerging.
You bet. In fact, a couple of our neighbors are mowing already, and it's time. We're going to have some nice warm weather here come Sunday and Monday, and guess what? Your grass is going to grow faster than you're ready for it. So key here, though, is if you're in need of service, get it in right away, because service shops are filling up all over the country, and there is a lack of service out there for a lot of shops have closed. So pre-warning everybody that you're going to be surprised that you can't find a place to fix. Here at Mueller Implement, we have a fantastic shop, so you want to stop down and get things going. We can get it done for you. But here's the deal. We got some programs going on right now with the Aaron's products, and that's all of our Aaron's products. We have 5% off as a rebate straight through, and then you have 0% interest for 36 months. If you don't want the 36 months, we take another 2.5% off. So that means you can get up to 7.5% off on the Aaron's products, all of the Aaron's products. On our ZTXs and XLs, we have $150 cash off. And then basically, we also give you that 2.5% off or the 0 for 36. So you got choices on that as well. And we are running a special on the Stealth 52, which is the black, we call it the varmint or whatever you want to call it. It's the Harley, the one you've always wanted to run with the boys with. Yeah. That one's $500 off of the normal price. We have, again, the 0% for 36 months. Or 2.5% more off. So a lot of discounts going on in our world, and we are doing everything we can to create the excitement to get something into your hands. But, you know, Husky is also in our line, and the Husky tractors are $300 to $400 off. They have 1.99 for 36 months, and the zero turn start at $500 off, and that's an unbelievable program, well worth your time to stop in. And all the handheld products vary from series to series to series. We have independent rebates on different models, and they will change on a regular two-week basis. So the company chooses a bunch of units that they're going to discount, and then they give us a holler, and we discount them so that you can save a lot of money. So no matter what's happening, Mueller Implement's got something going all the time, and we really want you to stop down and visit us. And the key coming here, of course, is, well, you know what they say, Phil, come. So it's easy to find. We're here at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, they're remodeling, so I think they're going to stay in business for another year. They're great neighbors. Nice to have them here. We're open from 7:30 to 5:30 every day, Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 12:30 on Saturday. And if you go to www.MuellerRental.com, you'll see our specials. Or go to Craigslist on the left-hand side. Punch in Mueller, you'll see our used. And by the way, we have a lot of great used models. We've been trading them in left and right. But, you know, it's cool if you stop by. Give us a holler at 935-2751. Phil, I don't know what to tell you, but spring's here.
I think it is, too. I can raise my ear flaps and be confident now, it sounds like.
Yeah. How long are you going to wear that hat?
Well, I don't know. Quite a while yet. I don't want to sunburn my ears, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I'm sure you look really cool with your winter cap on all summer.
You still have those ATVs, UTVs, do you?
Yes, we do. We have the UTV line, the Landmaster. They're made in Indiana, and they're a fantastic product line. Well worth your time to stop in. We're basically priced at what I would call medium price range. We're in that $10,000 to $20,000 range. And if you want to see a lot of great products, stop in and take a ride, because here's the other thing. We have ride and drive here every day at Mueller Implement. So if you're thinking about a lawnmower or a UTV or anything, stop down or visit us. Have a chance to run and drive one, get a feel for things, understand who we're about, and understand that we sell everything with service behind it. So when I sell you a lawnmower, we guarantee a loaner. When we sell you a product and you don't have a way to get it home, we give you a trailer to use. So there's a lot of little extras you get here at Mueller Implement, and we guarantee a loaner for life. That's so important on zero turns. So keep us in mind, stop down, get the discounts, because nobody else is doing what we're doing.
Excellent. Good to talk to you, Tom. As always, have an awesome weekend.
I will, and you just take care of that hat of yours.
I will do that. Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement on WRCO for our report.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.